When the world is in trouble, when our future is in danger, we call upon one man. But when he's busy, he calls five girls. Columbia Pictures presents The Spice Girls.
All right, we're coming.
In their film debut, Victoria, Emma, Mel B, Jerry, and Mel C. They're ready for action.
Girl power.
They're dressed to kill.
Do you want that shanked or stirred?
And thoroughly prepared for any encounter. It's a story of love.
I think with boys, you should be able to just wheel them in.
Yeah, and order them like a pizza.
Yeah, no cheese.
Compassion.
It's really too hot in here.
I need a fan.
Better.
And misunderstanding.
When the speeding melon hits the wall.
Yeah. It's Christmas for the crows.
What did he say?
I haven't a clue.
That's more like it.
This January.
Would you like an hors d'oeuvre?
No. But I'll have one of these pie things.
Make your choice.
Oh, I like the blonde one.
No. Sporty.
Rock your world. Hello! And spice up your life with the Spice Girls. Spice World.
Yeah, but can they act?
Blah, blah, blah. Girl power, feminism. Do you know what I mean?
What about me is scary? Probably a lot.
This spoiler-filled podcast is recorded live, unscripted, and intended for those over 18. Now prepare your ears for the audio stimulation they've been waiting for all day as we step into
the spoiler room.
And welcome to another edition of the spoiler room. I am Mark the Movie Man, your host, here on May 24th, 2016. And today, I know what you want, what you really, really want. You want us to talk about Spice World from 1997. And I've got a couple of gentlemen here who are going to help me talk about this girl power film. First off, back in the room, the lovely Andrew Shearer. Hello, Andrew.
Hey, Mark. Hey, you know what, dude? You're so cool for doing this, man. Because, like, there's a thing with movie fandom online to where, you know, it's got to be like, I enjoy this objectively bad. You can't just like something. You know, it's got to be like an addendum to it or whatever, you know? Thanks, because this was my idea, I think.
Yeah, well, you brought it up, and I threw it out there, and there were a few people interested. And I'm like, yeah, not many people are talking about this film, and it's got a bad rep in Rotten Tomatoes, if you follow that. So why not talk about it, and let's just see where it goes. So, yeah, it's a good suggestion there, Andrew. I'm glad you chose that. And next to Andrew is the Spoiler Room regular, Scotty D. Hello, Scott. How are you?
Hey, slam it to the left if you're having a good time. Shake it to the right if you know that you feel fine. I'm doing good.
Well, we are here tonight to spice up everyone's world with our talk of Spice World, the 1997 film. As you may have figured, haven't heard, it was starring the Spice Girls. And the synopsis, according to the majestic IMDb, is world-famous pop group The Spice Girls zip around London in their luxurious double-decker tour bus, having various adventures and performing for their fans. That's a little bit of a simplistic take on it. What it actually is the Spice Girls are at the peak of their careers, if you will, the hype. They're supposed to put on a live show within a week, and their friend is also pregnant with a baby and wants them to be their godparents. And so they are torn between trying to be there for their friend while she has the baby and making it on time to the live show. And will they? Well, this is the spoiler room, so we're going to just dig into the dirty details. First, we're going to go with Andrew. Andrew, let's just get your initial feelings with Spice World.
Now, let me tell you something, dude. I was there. opening night of Spice World. Actually, I didn't even go at the night. I was working a night job, so I went to the first showing of the day. And I don't think it's going to surprise anybody to know that I was the only male of my age there. I was the only male there. Actually, it was a bunch of moms with their daughters and me. And at the time, I was not a movie critic for the newspaper, but I told them I was. Because they all looked at me like, what are you doing here? And then one of them said, what are you doing here?
Wow, really? One of them actually asked you that? Really?
A girl, yeah. Well, you know, man, the target audience for this movie is the kind that's going to be like, you know, not some girl power, I guess. I don't know. Like, look, you know, I think Sporty would want to know what he's doing here, so I'm going to ask.
I got to actually went through the same thing on opening day of Twilight New Moon. I could actually legitimately say I was seeing it to review it, but I mean, it's happened before. I think John Waters says something in one of his shows that he feels weird going to the theater to see all these family movies that he loves. He says because everybody looks at him weird when he's the one adult male alone going to see Benji Unleashed. So,
Well, I had that awkward moment when I went to see The Hunger Games. Trust me, I know the feeling, especially while the theater is taking pictures and you're standing there in line next to tween girls and you're like, hey, let's take your picture. And I'm like, yeah, great. I'm in my black trench coat. This is going to look really good.
Black trench coat? Oh, yeah. Shit.
Make sure he's not packing.
Yeah. No, I mean, they had a legit reason to ask me why I was there.
Oh,
but
yeah.
You know, the truth I was there is because you know, I found Spice Girls extremely entertaining. I just did. I wasn't like into their music or anything, but I really liked their whole energy, what they stood for, and I thought, you know, as far as like role models for girls that age, there weren't really a whole lot that were using words like feminism, and I actually thought that was kind of cool. You know, I would support girl power in all forms, just like I did with Riot Girl. I mean, Lilith Fair, I was there for Spice World.
That's awesome. And Scotty D, how about you, sir? Your initial feelings when you first saw this film?
Can I tell a quick story? Or
go. I did, okay. So.
All right. Well, yeah, you know, Scott. My stories, they're usually not as quick. so
by
I had
all,
to
just,
add.
By all means, Scotty, you have the floor.
All right. Well, I was not into the Spice Girls at all when this movie came out. I was kind of one of those people that was like really against the Spice Girls. I remember being at a bar with a friend of mine who was really who was a very talented musician. She is a professional musician now. And she was just horrified to hear that there was going to be a movie about the Spice Girls, and we were just crying in our beer about it. Now, I didn't do this not to talk about like how cool I was and how above it I was. I do it to tell how with my head up my ass I was at the time. Because, let's be honest, because I don't know if it's a matter of that as time goes by, you get over a lot of these things. And I don't know if it's that you kind of realize, okay, I took it a little bit too personally, or you don't realize just how bad certain pieces of popular culture can get. And let me tell you, they're a lot worse than the Spice Girls now. And now I say that to give the run-up so you know I was not pro-Spice World when this thing came out. But I was a college student who did not spend too much time on classes, but I stayed up at all hours, and I would sometimes be up for multiple days at a time because I had really bad insomnia problems, and I would not stop swilling lots of caffeine. Now, this would often lead me to some really strange movie decisions where I would be delirious and I would be muttering nonsensical words as I went to see movies or went to buy movies. This is how I wandered down and rented Dante's Peak and Volcano at the same time with repeating, I'm having a hot lava double feature. I'm having a hot lava double feature. This is also how on late night TV, like 4 in the morning, I saw some like entertainment timeout where Alicia Silverstone talked about producing the movie Excess Baggage and saying that she knew that if this movie was not a hit, she wouldn't get to produce anything else. And so I was there first showing the next day at Mall of America, still awake, saying, "It's Alicia! She needs me!" I would go through these weird things, and this is important, because at one of these, after Spice World had come and gone, I did not see it in the theater. It had just come out on VHS, and I was at the local gas station buying more caffeine, buying, you know, multiple packs of cigarettes, because I was a chain smoker at the time, and like really bad, you know, sandwiches from the gas station, because I would always miss old meal times, and this is my only time to eat, was gas station food. And I go to the corner gas station, I come back, and I actually bought, sight unseen, Spice World, even though I was against this movie, because I was and I was like holding it up over my head in the Minnesota blizzards, walking back, going, "It's a Spice World. You and I are just living in it. It's a Spice World. You and I are just living in it."
And there might be boobs in it.
No, it wasn't even about that. And I was watching. And you know, I was not, not a fan of the music, but, you know, I plugged in the tape immediately as soon as I got back to my dorm room. Man, I loved this movie! Now, Dante's Peak and Volcano, not very good movies. Excess Baggage, don't know what your opinion is. It's not a very good movie as far as I'm concerned. Spice World ruled, and right afterwards I was going to all my grumpy, like, gutter punk friends, like, "Dude, you gotta see Spice World." They were like, "Screw you." And I was like, no, it's, like, every amazing British person you can imagine is in this movie. They're doing weird shit. It's funny. It knows it's ridiculous. It has no plot whatsoever. It's just these girls who like to hang out together having these wild adventures, and it's funny and it's great. And I think over time, certain members of my posse over the years kind of got around on their own, not by any help from me, to kind of appreciating this movie. And this movie is great. Their music still doesn't do anything to me. I don't plug my ears over it. It just doesn't do much for me. But this movie, their camaraderie in this film, oh, it's great. I love it.
And see, for me, in all honesty, I avoided this film for a long time. First off, when it first came out, because yeah, I was one of those where, yeah, Spice Girls, pop, whatever. Yeah, you know. But I've seen clips in that and saw references, and over the years, I've seen it grow this really interesting cult following where you're getting these people who really, you know, like they rediscovered it or discovered it for the first time, and they're just loving the film. And I'm like, okay. And then when Andrew suggested it, I will say, this past week is the first time I sat down and watched the film from start to finish. And I sat with my wife, and we loved every minute of this film. Yeah. I'm watching this going, I'm kicking myself for not watching it sooner, because the energy in this film is insane. It is always at a high, fun level. Like Scott said, the film does not take itself seriously. This was just them getting together because they wanted to make a movie and having fun. And thanks to Andrew for sharing that link, and I'll put it on our description of this on the website as well when we're done here, but he linked to a little behind-the-scenes documentary, and they shot this thing kind of off the cuff, didn't they, Andrew?
Yeah, dude. It was like, I can't remember who was talking about it. I think it's Richard E. Grant was saying about how there wasn't really even a script for it. He said because all you needed to do with the Spice Girls as like a professional actor was to just turn all the cameras on, point them at them, and let them do their thing. And that was my instinct going into the movie, was that these people are just very entertaining to me. And sure enough, that was what ended up happening with the movie. They just let it rip. And even in the interviews where they're trying to talk to someone, said someone from the Spice Girls would just run over and start being hilarious.
Yeah, it's just wild, you know, and I'm sitting there watching this going, this is just a bunch of fun. Like, the alien skit in here is something they came up with while filming.
It's nuts, isn't it, dude? Like, why is that there? Oh, God. But yeah, that entire scene is better than the whole movie, Paul.
Yes, it is. It really is.
Well, yeah, because you even get an alien groping in there.
Oh, he grabs Scary Spice's tit.
it's PG, and I'm watching this going, oh, wait, they actually did that.
Yeah.
Wow, that's wild. And she's signing, Baby Spice, like, signs one of the aliens, like, belly.
Yeah, gross.
Yeah, I'm like, wow, man.
They did some cutting of that scene when this was on Freeform recently, which is kind of disappointing. I'm like, oh, come on, you're showing Pretty Little Liars on your channel, but you won't show this.
But so we have the Spice Girls all playing their characters, because their group was a group. They were characters on stage, and so they just played the same characters here in the film. So that was kind of natural for them, so they kind of fell in it, though they were maybe a little bit exaggerated. But there is a bit of a Hard Day's Night vibe in here, isn't there, Scott? You know, especially like with their bus, where it's bigger on the inside.
This is a thing, it actually kind of parodies a lot of British tropes, which I'm sure flew, I mean, I think it, when I first saw the movie, it flew way over my head, and flies over the heads of lots of some of the American audience. Gee, what else can we think of now from Britain where there's a magical machine that transports our heroes and is bigger on the inside. Yeah, it's a total TARDIS, their bus. And there's no sense of movement when they're inside. It's just a big party thing. Everything they did. This film, yeah, and I think what they did all... there's lots of parodying of British tropes. That's why you have all the cameos, which I'm sure you're going to get onto eventually, so I'm not going to talk about it right now. The whole film... It is so nonsensical. When I watched this again, I'm like, you know, this is like if they had a Spice Girls TV show, like in the style of The Monkees, and they just shoved an entire season of it into an 84-minute movie. Because you got the aliens, you got the show, you've got the pregnancy, you've got them in a house that they think is haunted, you've got the tabloid people hunting them, you've got the guy having a nervous breakdown, you've got, like, you know, Roger Moore is like freaking is bottle feeding a pig at one point. I mean, it's just nuts. It's just insane, the whole movie, and it could be so easy for it to, like, all collapse on itself. But just like, say, like, A Hard Day's Night, or I would say in equal measure, the follow-up to that movie, Help, where everything is very colorful and nonsensical, but it all kind of works. I don't know if I would compare it to those two movies in totally, but yeah, why not? It's kind of like the mid-90s answer to those movies, I would say, yeah.
It's the energy, I think, and the feel. The tone of it is definitely harkens to those Beatles films.
Yeah. The Hard Day's Night, it does culminate in a big show, too. So
that's right. It culminates in the big show. So, yeah, Roger Moore. Well, they have Roger Moore in there as the chief, which they never really explained his purpose outside of he was the boss of the manager of the Spice Girls, but it gave Andrew, were they going for kind of the Charlie's Angels type of vibe for that?
Yeah, they were. And also, you know, Roger Moore was Bond, James Bond, so it was giving him a chance to go on the other side and to be a little bit of Bond villainy with those animals, you know.
He's petting the animals. I love the fact he's petting that cat. And I'm like, oh, I know exactly what they're doing. And then he gets that one line in there where he's shaking his martini. And he goes, let us not stir things up. And I'm
right. That's so corny. I love it.
It's corny, but I thought it was brilliant reference at the same time. Because I'm sitting there going, if you're not familiar with Bond, you don't get that line. The underlying joke at all, the fact that he's shaking his martini and saying it's not time to stir. That was just a point of brilliance, and I just love that. And there's some other subtle humor in here as well that they have in here. But Roger Moore, yeah, as Scotty mentioned, is one of the many cameos that they have in here. If you were famous in the 90s, still in British and in Britain, you were in this film, I think. Elvis Costello, Stephen Fry.
Richard E. Grant is just phenomenal in this movie.
Oh, yeah. He was. I mean, you know, and people were kind of – American audiences might recognize him from wasn't he in Hudson Hawk?
He was the bad guy in Hudson Hawk.
Yeah.
He's also been in, like, With Nail and I, and, you know, if you were a B-movie fan, Warlock. But, you know, he actually has classy movies to his credit, too.
Well, even at that time, he was considered a big-named star at that, and that's why it was a surprise for the Spice Girls when they had him in there, because the way they talk about him, especially Alan Cummings in here, and one Richard O'Brien.
Yeah, dude, he's in there with Meatloaf, the two Rocky Horror guys together again, man.
What'd you think about that, Andrew? I mean, Meatloaf being the bus driver, the only Americans, I think, in here.
Yeah,
and then you got Richard O'Brien in here playing the villain.
Richard O'Brien is so good, dude. He's so good as the paparazzi man coming out of the... I'll tell you what happened, man. My daughter's a big Rocky Horror fan, and I put on Spice World. I was trying to rewatch it for the show. That didn't really work out because she didn't really like it that much. Wanted to watch Rocky Horror again. But... she's playing with her toys, ignoring the movie. Richard O'Brien's character pops out of a toilet at one point.
Mm-hmm.
And, and she goes, it's Riff Raff.
That is awesome. I'm like,
yeah, but, I thought that was so great that they were both in the same movie. I know, like, nobody that was there watching it probably, like, went, holy crap, that's so cool. But, yeah, man, I don't think they were ever in another movie together except for this. So just for that alone, you know, you got to check it out. But name another movie where Richard O'Brien's got a big role, you know? It's just not that much.
No, and he's
great.
He was great, and he surprised me that he was featured as much as he was, because I thought maybe he was going to be, you know, kind of another cameo. But when I saw what part he played, which he's basically the paparazzi villain, I'm like, oh, that's perfect.
Yeah.
Heavy in the movie, yeah.
Yeah, the heavy.
And, or as heavy as you can be when you're that thin, you know.
Yeah. That's very true. But then,
you got Mark McKinney, George Wendt. Is it here?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, those are the other U.S. guy. They're pitching the movie within the movie.
And you know they improvised that shit. You know they improv that shit. Mark McKinney's there just going off. George Wendt, who never gets nearly enough credit for being as awesome as he is. If you guys ever have a chance to see King of the Ants, you to see it. Mm-hmm. Everybody's in this movie. What is your favorite? Okay, as far as like the cameos are concerned, what is your favorite cameo in the movie?
Oh, Andrew!
Oh, no question. Mine's Bob Hoskins, man. They're doing this. They're doing this. One of the many. You cannot. The montages are so great. Oh my God. There's one part where Ginger Spice goes into a phone booth and Bob Hoskins comes out. But he's got her voice. She has transformed into Bob Hoskins. You're like, everyone is in it.
Well, not only that, but he even gets that little mannerism about, oh, I'm all about girl power and gender equality. And
he goes, equality between, he says, girl power, equality between the sexes, and gives the peace sign. I'm like, no way. No way.
He did the little head tilt, too, and he just, the way he did that whole little thing, I was like, oh my God.
Because some of the cameos are like, this person's game, you know, or this person's, you know, kind of deciding what they'll do, you know, some of them are just being a good sport. But man, for a guy who's, Bob Hoskins is a great actor, man.
Oh, yeah.
And for a guy like that to just be, he did a performance there. It was a goofy thing he did, man. You could tell the only reason why these people, most of them probably did, it was probably a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you have in their house as parole in one of their fantasy thoughts, talking about a mystery with a baby. Oh, talking about Baby Spice and how she could get away with anything with her smile. And then they flash back to an Agatha Christie thing where it's Perot and it's the guy who plays House.
Hugh Laurie.
Hugh Laurie playing Perot, and I'm like, that's Hugh Laurie.
And they all played it totally straight.
And he's all into that role, too. You can tell. It's just like, wow. I'm like, he put his all into that little bit of role there. Yeah. For me, yeah, I'd say Hugh Laurie and Bob Hoskins, too, is kind of a tie. I did also like the subtle cameo by Elvis Costello, who was the manager and his assistant were having a discussion in the bar about Famous. People being famous and fame and everything, and then if I remember correctly, he shows up as a bartender and serves them a drink.
Yeah, that's like somebody whose music I actually do like, you know. So that was kind of crazy that there he is, because you know Bob Geldof is in it too, and he has Sporty Spice or no?
Yes, that's my favorite. This is my favorite one, is the Bob Geldof one. I'm sorry.
No. Bob Geldof came up with Live Aid, and here he is with Scary Spice hair.
Bob Geldof comes in there. He's getting, you know, Bell Gals from the Boomtown Rats, Pink Floyd the Wall, Live Aid, Band-Aid. And he's talking to Scary Spice in one shot, and he's got his hair, his trademark hair, it's all frizzied out. And he says, why is everybody lecturing me about the hair? You're lecturing about the hair. No one can get over the hair. And the next shot you see is that she's given him a makeover, and he has Scary Spice's hair. And he's looking into a mirror and saying, what the hell did you do? It is, you know, if you are at all familiar with this guy and what he's done, that is such a good sport and hilarious bit.
But you know, my thing was, when I'm thinking about this movie now, all these years later, it's almost 20 years old, it's like, all right, if you knew nothing of the Spice Girls, if you knew nothing of any of these people, this movie would still be extremely entertaining, and I think that says the most about it, you know?
Yeah, the one thing is where some of these pop culture movies that feature performers in that, you kind of got to be familiar with the name, but the way they structure this, you could just pick it up off the shelf, watch it, don't need to know anything about these girls, and appreciate it as a comedy by itself.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think they were also aiming it, even though it had, like, all these esoteric, you know, references to, you know, British musicians and history and little subtle humor bits. I think they were also knew that a lot of their fans were young girls.
Right.
And they were kind of aiming it towards that younger audience, and the difference. So everything is colorful and everything's always moving. And I think that it's meant to be a film where the kids could go into this movie and have a good time with it and hopefully keep watching it years later and then catch those bits like, oh, I didn't get that when I was 11, but now I get it, you know?
Well, apparently also during this filming, they were actually recording the music for the album that goes along with the movie at the same time. So
their schedule was nuts.
Yeah, I mean, from what I understand, they were just doing everything while they were making this film. And it's just mind-boggling to think that they juggled all of that. You know, any artist, and it's not just them, just any artist trying to juggle all of that at the same time, and they pull off an entertaining film. So, yeah, I mean, that's the cameos in here are great. The dialogue in here is fun. You can tell they improvised a good chunk of it. But they also had some direction as well. Andrew, what was the topic or thing you maybe wanted to bring to the group about Spice World?
Well, there were two, but you know, if we have time, maybe we'll come to the more serious one. I got a fun question, and that is, who are you? Which Spice Girl are you?
Oh.
Oh, wow.
I did this when we did Faster Pussycat, and just kind of coming back there. I had a good time hearing everybody's responses. So, you know.
Which Spice Girl am I? Oh,
I should have known this was going to come up, and I did not think about it at all.
Because it's me, and I'm very, very curious about it. I mean, I can go first, because I've always known which one I am if you guys...
go for it.
You know.
Well, I think I know which one you are, too, but go ahead.
You think you do, eh? Let's hear it, Holmes.
I think given, they are all into feminism, but given that your outspokenness on the issue, which I applaud, and I think is everybody should kind of follow, I would actually say that you probably had a lot in common with Ginger. actually.
That is a very good guess, and it is my second choice.
Ah, okay.
Oh, it's got to be.
Come on, Mark.
You've got to be Scary Spice.
Yeah, Scary Spice, man. Scary Spice to me is just like, to me, she's got the best of all of them. I think that she could, there's a part in the movie where they all get to kind of role play each other and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt that Scary, as I believe Ginger, successfully pulled off Ginger like 1,000%. But yeah. But Baby did not do a very good Scary Spice. And, she was always the one I kind of gravitated towards. She just seemed like if there was a movie that she was like a movie just about her, I'd watch that too. She's just to me by far the most entertaining. What about me is scary? Probably a lot.
That's a Paul quote. That's like one to sample at the beginning of the show or something.
Probably more time than you got.
Scary Spice did have you're right, as far as characters go, because they each chose a, which I kind of liked and which I thought was kind of interesting for a group like this, you know, group bands. Usually group bands, even though they kind of have characters, they use their own names in that, but in here they basically took on completely specific personas for their act, which I think was also a little bit different for a five-person group. I mean, you had usually boy bands, you know, who kind of had different characters, but nowhere near to, I think, the extreme of the Spice Girls.
No, they're also distinctive, man, and they're all mm-hmm. entertaining in their own way. You know, you got to remember, for people that think they're too good to watch something like this, you got five leads. You have mm-hmm. to make them all equal screen time. You have to make them all equally interesting. You don't want one of the people in the biggest pop group in the world at that moment to feel like they're being shortchanged in this film. So what they had to do as far as writing an ensemble, I mean, that was some acrobatics, man. And I think they pulled it off. It's got to be, in filmmaking terms, difficult. And you need to tell me which Spice you are, Mark.
Okay. Good question.
And Paprika is not a choice?
I know Paprika Spice isn't a choice, nor is...
Dillweed is, though, if you keep...
Dillweed. Okay, all right, fine. Ginger.
There you go.
I'll say I'm a Ginger Spice.
There you go.
I liked her approach, her attitude. She's a little more independent, I think, you know, of the others, but still, she was still friends and everything. You could tell, but she also, I don't know, I enjoyed Ginger Spice and enjoyed her character. Maybe a bit of the tomboyishness in her, I'm not sure.
She was like the leader, but, man. I think she's the one that fired their manager after this movie.
because they fired their
manager. Maybe before it, I don't know.
No, I think it was before, but she was the one that left, too, though. She was the one that first chose to leave.
And posed nude, I think, too.
Never
and
mind,
Mark's,
I'm Ginger Spice.
And Mark's done that. And Mark's done that, we know. So.
Yeah.
Did everybody get those pictures? Everybody got those on the private? Okay, good.
Well, a little bit of a confession. Let's just say it was college. The art department needed it. The art department needed a live model for some of their classes. And, yeah, life drawing model. There you go.
Yeah. How did they get the chocolate sprinkles to stay on that goat's head, though? I was like, it never works for me.
Wow. Scotty, what spice are you? Come on, you got to choose
one. I thought with your fur drinks you were going to be posh, so.
Possibly been my guess.
I would love to say that I was, I guess I got a little bit of ginger in me, but I would love to say that I was like a Sporty Spice, but, you know, let's be honest, I'm probably kind of a Baby Spice.
I knew it.
I mean, I got this voice, I got the, I will, like, try to win people over, like, you know. If I do something awful, I will try to win people over with an attitude and a smile and stuff. I can totally see that. It's actually kind of good. Does go into my question where I also thought in this movie that of the people who were probably the most natural comedians on screen, because, you know, that's a lot of these people, that's not their first, you know, job was to be a comedic actress. I'd say that I think that Baby Spice was probably the funniest and had the best comedic timing in the movie for me. And while I don't think I'm, you know, hilarious or anything like that, I do try. So I try real hard, and so I would say probably Baby. Yeah, Baby. Yeah, Scott Baby Spice Davis. That's me.
Now that's how I'm going to introduce you from now on. It's going to be Scott Baby Spice Davis.
It's good, you know. It's about damn time I got a nickname. I've been on these damn shows for like 2 years.
All right, Baby Spice. So, Scott, you said you had another question. What was your second question?
Well, it was my question was, and I just kind of answered it a bit.
Oh, okay.
Was that I was going to ask what of the now that all the girls are in this movie, and they kind of one of the conceits is that they all kind of have to be perfect. You mean you don't find out like that one of them is a recovering alcoholic or anything like that. You know, everybody has to be like equally awesome in this movie. If a mistake is made, they all make the same mistake, and then they all realize they're wrong at the same time. You know, and so they all kind of have to be perfect. So everybody's kind of got equal footing. But who do you think probably made that transition to on-screen comedy most successfully? For me, I thought that Emma Bunton, Baby Spice, was probably the one that made me laugh the most in this movie. I thought that she had some really good comedic timing in this film. Who do you think actually made the transition to comedic actress the best in this film?
Out of the Spice Girls?
Out of the Spice Girls, yeah. Not the rest of the crew, because they're all, you know, they're all vets.
Right.
And everything like that. And I'm talking about the actual, like, the Spice Girls in the movie.
Andrew, what about, go ahead.
I found Sporty to be the funniest, actually, for some reason.
I always liked her.
I think it's her accent, like the way she, because she plays with the way that she talks, you know, and kind of plays the speech patterns for comedic effect. Like, every time she says something, it's funny to me, whether or not, you know, it's intentional, but I just really, I really kind of like her delivery or whatever, you know, and it's also, she seems more like the punk of the group, you know?
Yeah.
So that to me, just for some reason, I liked it. And even the shots where they're singing, she adds some kind of weird extra movements that you don't need. And I just was like, why are you doing that? You know, I don't know. I just, to me, I liked it. But I do agree that Baby is the one that I thought might go on to actually act in more stuff. But I don't think, I don't know, has she, I feel like I've seen her in Absolutely Fabulous.
She's been in Absolutely Fabulous, which remember, the guys who actually put this movie together were from Absolutely Fabulous. Yeah. And she's, I did some looking up on her on Wikipedia afterwards, because it kind of struck me how funny she was after this. And she's just been, like, mainly doing a lot of, well, you know, she's had her music career and stuff, but she's also mainly done, like, a lot of, as a presenter, on a lot of British TV shows and everything like that. So she's like hosting and doing a lot of stuff where I'm imagining, I haven't seen it, but I'm imagining she kind of has to turn on that charm and everything like that, as you would naturally have to do.
Yeah, I just like the first thing out of Sporty's mouth every time something happens is, oi!
I dug Sporty Spice too. As far as transition for who made me laugh, in all honesty, Posh actually made me laugh quite a bit.
Right? She was funny.
She was kind of playing the straight person. You know, she was playing up that persona, and she was doing it in a way that was, I thought, really funny. Because it you could tell it was a bit, you know, over-exaggerating. Like, you know, she's in the bus, and she's like, I don't know which dress I should wear, this one or that. And they're all the same.
They gave her that speed parody because she looks like got that Sandra Bullock hair. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it also gives her a chance to like just like tear off and just like be like a total like action hero. When if you look in like say like the army sequence where they have like kind of this like pseudo military sequence, everybody else is running through the obstacle course in like fatigues. She's got like a cute camo dress on, and she just kind of walks through there like she's on a fashion run.
Oh, dude, who thinks that guy who was like the military dude, the that was you know, like
the dance
him and stuff. Yeah. Who thinks he was drunk as shit?
Michael Barrymore. It's probably a pretty good idea. Good.
I do believe that there may have been some enhancements of some kind consumed before and during that role.
Because there's a shot, man, where, like, you know, there's a long shot and then there's a close up, and it's sort of kind of cut together. And I'm like, all right, he's making the same kind of face in the same kind of part. It looks like he's just about to fall the fuck out. And I was either like, there's no way he did this twice. Okay, it's too seamless. So my only guess is that he really did. They got one, and then he was like on his face.
Yeah, he was a wild character. Yeah, I think there was some inebriation going on.
Yeah, dude. It's a very, like, what has my life become? You know.
Can you imagine? I mean, because it was like, I mean, we were still a few years from him passing away, and he is a well-known British actor. Can you imagine if they got, like, Oliver Reed on this movie? But he would have probably wound up, like, punching somebody is the problem.
Well, then you have, with Roger Moore in there, you know, I swear they must have, like, took a secondary crew and just, like, filmed all his scenes in probably one day in a room.
It was one day.
Yeah.
It was one day.
Where they just film him saying these just outrageous quotes, which are deep yet totally not fitting to the conversation they're having. I guess I'll ask a question. What was one of your favorite? Because he has about a half a dozen lines or so, I think. What was your favorite chief line, Andrew?
Dude, it's the one about the chicken. It's something like the headless chicken only knows where he's been and cannot see where he is going. Like, I hope he thought of this, man.
Makes me wonder if they just sat him in front of the camera and he just spouted off phrases. What about you, Scott?
Oh, God. I don't know.
Do you remember any of them? Or?
I'm trying to remember. See, they're so intricate, and I don't know if I can remember them.
Well, there was the back and forth he did with him about the pigeons.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about the thing about where the rabbit of chaos is pursued by the ferret of disorder. Because I think it was great. It was like one of the last quotes he has, and he has like this, and I think it's when he's holding the pig, bottle feeding it. And he says, like, and he has this long bit, and he says, lest we get carnage all over our faces or something at the end. Because by that time, we've listened to been checking in on him, giving these things, and by that time, you're like, yeah, that makes – you can't even pretend that makes sense. the gist of it was, I'm glad things have worked out, but let's stay vigilant for the future. But, I mean, it was just so out there that I cannot remember it.
I've got it. When the rabbit of chaos is pursued by the ferret of disorder through the fields of anarchy, it is time to hang your pants on the hook of darkness, whether they're clean or not.
And what's great about all them lines is he's usually giving them to Richard E. Grant, who's playing the manager, and the guy's like, God, he is so right.
Until the end where they're like, what did he say? Does it matter?
It's smart, man. That's good. To me, that's good writing. It's good structure, you know?
Well, yeah, it was consistency in it, and yeah, I loved those bits and how they're directed it. And yeah, directing this film had to be wild. You know, it just had to be definitely not necessarily guerrilla shooting, but they really didn't have anything too planned out or couldn't plan anything out because it was like, you know, the old... was it the Groucho Marx thing where they actually had to have a harp on stage all the time because at random, if I remember the story correctly, at random Harpo would just go over to the harp and start playing and you had to film it, you know, it's like, oh, crap. So,
yeah,
you know, this kind of a similar thing where they're just like, hey, let's do an alien scene or, hey, let's do a scene where we're doing costume changes and, you know, Jerry is dressed up as Wonder Woman.
Go. And then, yeah.
And then, you know, they're dressed in 70s clothes for whatever reason.
Charlie's Angels.
The Charlie's Angels, yeah. Oh, and then there was the, and this is after Pulp Fiction, so you know there had to be the influence of the Force 5.
Spice Force 5.
I saw that. I'm like, oh, they're totally digging on Pulp Fiction's Fox Force 5. They've got to be.
Oh yeah, they got right down to like when like in Uma says, you know, Black girl's a demolitions expert. So Scary Spice gets in there, she's the demolitions expert. I'm like, I'm surprised they did that. And she blows up the wrong building, of course.
Yeah.
It's funny, a little bit of trivia about that part is that, you know, since it was improv, they didn't know she was going to do that. The building was actually blown up by her own fart. Did you know that?
No. No,
that's not true. I just made that up.
No, that's like an Andrew's director's cut of Spice World.
I farted on the wrong building, you know?
The fart edition. There you go.
Get it at Gonzo-rific.
Yeah, they're eating those French fries at like midnight, so.
Oh, there you go. So, Andrew, you said you had a second question, a little more serious. What was that question, sir?
To me, man, it's like it's hard. The legacy of Spice World, if I can just go ahead and say.
Go ahead.
It had no right to be as good as it was back then, but it definitely, there's no reason why it should still be so great now. But I can't help but think about the period of time when this movie was made, and it's like the 90s are pretty much, as far as like music was concerned, the early part of the 90s was characterized by some of the best rock and some of the best hip hop that we'd ever gotten, that my generation was able to produce pretty much. And then after that, we kind of went and descended into this murk of pop music. It was sort of almost just like a, you know, this weird chaser for what had just happened. The thing is that now you like think of who are the role models for young girls in the world of pop music. And there is no Spice Girls that I can think of. But think of the massive audiences these people attracted. They were dolls of them. That was the age group that this was for. And that's why a lot of times they're not taken very seriously, is because it was beyond bubblegum. It was like a cartoon come to life, really. But they were positive. In the movie, none of them are doing anything, I think, that is something that a PG audience shouldn't see. And not long after this came the Britney Spears, and everything kind of went like in that direction. I just wanted to know, like, who do you think now, if anyone, is holding it down for who would be still like the Barbie doll age group in terms of music?
I don't know if I can think of anybody who would appeal to that young of an audience, because I think that, and I think, unfortunately, I think a lot of that is the marketing. I don't know if a lot of people would get away with being that, you know, cute and positive and everything like that. I think that every time I think about this, it's kind of like, I think about like the Zack Snyders of the world and everything like that, and they kind of, no, sorry, Mark, and they and I think about like every exec wanting to say like, no, you got to be serious and gritty, and everybody kind of comes off like Chris Cooper in the Muppets. You know, the Muppets are a cynical group for a cynical world. You know, the closest I can think of that speak out for young women, though probably not this as young of a group, are Lady Gaga and Pink. Now, I don't know much about pop music these days, but I know that I like them a lot, and I know that they have generally said some really positive things.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, even in pop culture, it's just hard to really kind of think of, because, you know, like the Tinkerbell movies are pretty, God, dude, if you've ever seen the Pirate Fairy, that is like a feminist-ass Disney cartoon. Same with Maleficent, but they're not In the world of music, man, it's almost just like I was thinking about this while we were talking. Like, would they want it if it was there, or did Spice Girls really like hook it up and unhook it and could never exist again because they were just such an anomaly?
I think it could exist again. I mean, I'm always trying to, like, encourage people to have more hope and stuff. It's why I was, like, one of the only people – and Andrew, you were on my show with us. I think, Mark, you were on the show too. And when I did a show last year all about, you know, how, Tomorrowland, because I knew that film was just going to get trashed. And I loved that it had a positive message with a young girl in the lead and everything like that. And that it spoke about hope and equality and, you know, bringing people together. So I'm not ready. I think that there's a lot to fight against. And I think that a lot of it is the marketing and it's how whoever, like, decides what gets thrown out there. But I'm not ready to call it a day yet. I think eventually there's going to be somebody that emerges from YouTube or some other platform and comes out of left field and says, no, we can still have a it won't be the same spin. It'll be a new spin, but we can still have this positivity. We can still have feminism. We can still have equality, and we can still have a good message, a non-threatening message towards young girls out there. I think that's going to happen. I just don't know how, and I don't know when, but it's going to happen.
I agree that it's marketing, and I would say probably closest pop stars right now would probably be I would probably say possibly Lady Gaga and Pink. But the thing is, we got to remember this is still the mid-90s when internet was coming up in that. I think the double-edged sword that we have is the exact medium of what our podcast is on, is the internet and the global exposure and the fact that my kids, who are teenagers and kids in their group, have access to so much more variety, in all honesty, in general, than I did as a kid at their fingertips.
Spice Girls was the last big band of its type to hit before the social media revolution, really.
It really was. And, you know, I think there's role models out there now, but I think it's in smaller groups. And I also think that the problem we have is that I'm not saying – yeah, it's another get-off-my-lawn moment, but filmmakers and producers and marketers, I don't think back then dumbed things down as much or placated to what they think the kids really want as much as they do now. And I'm talking about, like, Disney. I mean, if you watch the Disney Channel and you watch their shows, some of them are really interesting, but if you actually take them, they're all the same. I mean, as far as their tone and humor and everything, you know, and they're not – Spice Girls are interesting because they were a group. They each had characters. They had a great message. But in all honesty, if you look at this film and look at some of their albums, that you never felt like they were being specifically marketed towards girls necessarily. They were just presenting a message in general, and it really picked up with the tween girls, and then they rolled with that, I think. But today, I don't know. I think there's just too much out there now for any one group like that to stand out too much because people are able to find their more niches. So can you have another Spice Girls? I think you could. I just don't think it would be on the as big of a scale as you have now or last. I mean, they only had three albums. So, I mean, in all honesty, they didn't really have a huge, long run.
Well, none of these pop groups of this type do. I mean, New Kids on the Block, I mean, if we ignore their big comeback thing when they were like 40, you know, New Kids on the Block weren't around forever either, neither were the Backstreet Boys or NSYNC, you know? you know, they just – these things, they last like for a few years and then that's it.
So I guess the long roundabout way is I think they're – could be a group like it, but they, like Scott said, they'd have to market it the right way. I just don't think marketers are marketing like that anymore. There's so many more focus groups and target demographics and studies of social media and this and that, you know, I think it'll be tougher to sell. And they've tried it, though I did get a kick out of the fact that you had Disney trying to push for a while Devo 2.0, which was a group of tweens with lead singers who were females singing Devo songs.
Gotta hear them.
No, it's all wrong, dude. Here's what they need to do. All Spice Girls, come back. Writer, Jack Nicholson. Director, Bob Refelson. Same team that brought you Head.
I got it.
Let's send the Spice Girls out in Head style.
Oh.
That's a weird... That if you thought Spice Girl World was a weird movie...
The posters will say, you know, Spice World 2 from the guys that gave you Head.
Yeah, that's good marketing. Though they probably get a crowd, just not the ones they want.
Combining two things you love, Spice Girls and Head.
Wow.
Just throwing that out there while we're talking.
But, yeah, I mean, it was just a slightly different time when they came out. And there really hasn't been, I don't think, a group quite like them. I know we say that a lot, but some of these artists, but there really wasn't, and there hasn't been really, that I think hit the right notes, gave the right message, and just were, you know, the way they did things was taking a chance, and it worked. And nowadays, I mean, we see it in movies, we've talked about it before, we see it now in music too. I don't think there's as many people or companies out there that want to take chances anymore. I don't think there is.
That's why I think it's going to come from like the internet, and then some marketing person will have to snatch it up, you know. But it'll start out like on like YouTube or Bandcamp or some other avenue like that, and then get swept up in the frenzy of viral marketing or whatever.
Well, Scott, don't forget Bieber came from YouTube.
That's what I'm saying, though.
I know. I know what you're saying.
That's exactly what I'm saying, is that it's going to be something like that.
Yeah,
you know?
It would be a group that starts on their own and builds that fan base. And right. Yeah, that would be probably where it would have to come from, because I don't think a studio would take a chance and try to create a group like that. It's not me being cynical. That's just boiling down to money. Because money is what really drives the industry so much, even more so than now. Back then, I think, more so now, is they're worried about what they invest in, and there's less chances being taken. So, yeah, it would have to come from the internet, I think, for a group like that.
You know, I want to just say this night. You know, you can cut this out if you want, because I know it does not fit in here with what our discussion is right now, and I don't want to like screw up the momentum, but this did come out like before like things were like internet had, when people were still trying to like tinker around with the internet and find out what's happening with it, and every big movie that came out had a big website. And not wanting to actually get down to actually like studying when this movie came out, I would always like I would visit every site for every big movie, and they'd always be like something like a video game or something like that where they'd try to like do something interactive. They had, even though I was not a fan of the Spice Girls and I wouldn't come around to liking the movie for several months, they had the coolest thing on the Spice World website. They had a thing where they had like little snippets and bits and pieces of the Spice Up Your Life song, which is like the one song where I can honestly say, no, it's actually a really good song by the Spice Girls, and that's why it's a showstopper here. And you could actually do like an amateur DJ thing on it.
Oh.
And like do like a remix, and like that you couldn't record it from what I remember, but you could like totally like, you know, take little beats like do 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 do, and like then like have like, you know, Sporty's bit and then Mel B's bit and just boom 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 boom. And I remember like just playing with that for like 15 minutes straight and like freestyling it, having no knowledge of like, you know, I am not a DJ. I know people who are professional DJs. They're so good. I am not. But I remember thinking from that, like, man, if I had any knowledge of how to do this professionally, I would kick ass. Because that is still, I will say that is still probably the most fun I ever had on a studio website. in connection to a movie was they had a remix, the Spice Up Your Life song, like a little freestyle thing on the Spice World website. I'm sorry, I just got reminded of that.
No, no, that's part of the film. That's awesome that you had that memory.
Yeah.
I guess, Andrew, what about you? Your answer to your question.
My answer to my question is, I think that, honestly, man, there is a big gap in popular media for positive role models for girls that are that particular age. And I think about my kid and I'm going like, you know, they're not going to want to watch or listen to old stuff at that age. They're going to want something new to come out. And it would be cool if it wasn't as cool as some of the animated stuff is. It would be cool if it was people. And when there's a big jump when it comes to someone like Pink or Lady Gaga, because they're addressing things in life and in the world that are still a little bit more, you know, like a little bit more grown up. You know, we're talking about an age of girls where you're figuring out what it means to have power and all of that stuff, but yet you haven't yet known the horrors that, you know, of the world, and you shouldn't. And so it to me, man, thinking back on Spice Girls, a part of the reason why I was so stoked that you want to do this is because I did want to kind of look at that and go like, well, why would the Spice Girls matter? It's because what they did, I think, is, you know, shoved under for the cheese factor, or maybe some of the embarrassment, or people like, oh God, I would never, that's, I liked that when I was a kid. I was like, well, yeah, you did. That's what it was for, you know? I don't think there's a lot of grown-ups bumping Spice Girls in their cars, and I don't think they should. I mean, you know, Alanis Morissette was for, you know, someone that was older than that. You know what I mean? Back then. But, I think there kind of will always be a need for it. And the fact that there isn't signifies, you know, an achievement on their part, I think, whether or not anyone wants to give them credit for that.
No, I agree with that. And actually watching the film again, I realized that I actually enjoy their music.
It's not the worst, is it?
And I did. No, it's not at all. I mean, we were watching it. My wife and I were talking. We're like, yeah, you know what? I forgot. I enjoy their music. It's kind of entertaining, and yeah, you know, it's fun. With positive, it was positive feelings, and you know, I think I think positive feelings, and this goes along with Spice World. I think it's a harder sell because, one, we do have so much cynicism in the world, but two, positivity has gotten so much negativity.
Yeah.
If that makes sense, especially in recent years. I mean, when you think of positive things for kids, about the only thing you can think of is Disney. And when you mention Disney, people's pancreases scream and run away because of they're so saccharine. It's so sweet, so, you know, overly sweet that a lot of people, it's easier, you know, it's easy to be cynical towards it because it is just too far, I think, sometimes into the cute and sweet column when it doesn't need to be. Yeah. And, you know, I think that's what I was trying to point out before is the fact that it's tough to find that source now that's not overly sweet.
True.
But yet still positive.
When you look at it, the Spice Girls were sex symbols, and they were known, you know, and, you know, of course, every tabloid, every entertainment report and everything out there, you know, painted them as such. They were five attractive women. But they weren't very sexual in their music. The music is very bubblegummy, and I'm trying to think of stuff today, and I'm trying to think, okay, well, Megan Trainor's out there, she's kind of, well, no, still kind of that. You know, you know, so, and you try to think that, there's even the bubblegum is sexualized now, you know.
Well, and I even realized, I remember, I mean, they parody it in the movie and about, you know, their PR and the paparazzi and how they were trying, you know, the one news guy was trying to make up and find dirt on them. And
when British tabloid press is just terrible anyway.
And when I was thinking of the Spice Girls back in the 90s and that, I remember they did very good for artists, especially for five female attractive artists. They did very good, I think, on their image control and PR.
Well, they turned it around. They turned it around. I mean, we call them, I mean, even then they're credited in the movie as this, as Baby Spice, Posh Spice, Scary Spice. If I recall, and you can correct me if I'm wrong on this, if I recall, I remember hearing that was not something that started with the Spice Girls. a tabloid wrote that about them, and that's how they labeled them in pictures, mm-hmm. you know, and then they're just like, okay, and they kind of turned it around. They wound up freaking owning it, you know, which I think is really cool.
Now, again, I wasn't in Britain in that where they were really huge, so I don't know. I'm sure the tabloids tried to come up with stuff, but at least over here in the U.S., you didn't hear really a whole lot of negativity about them, you know, which now, I mean, a band like that, people would be continuously trying to dig up dirt, get a picture. Oh, they were seen with this person or
whatever. Well, again, it's the social media age. It's now, you know, tabloids. Let's think about like other pop acts from that period. Like, I don't know, Backstreet Boys, the only thing I can think of from America. From that period, and tabloids wouldn't care because why? Because people, if you're a fan of the Backstreet Boys, you're not, you know, snatching up the Inquirer, mm-hmm. you know, you're snatching up the teen magazines, which try to make them sound fantastic. But the British tabloid press has always been just shit to everybody. Basically, they are terrible, terrible, terrible things, and I think now that's taken over the world because now you've got social media and everything like that. You know, somebody has a nip slip and suddenly there's like a freaking mushroom cloud over it. You know, somebody has an off the cuff remark that they make in a tweet. I don't even like Twitter, but they take an off the cuff mark on Twitter. Suddenly they're like a skinhead, you know, or something. You know, I mean, it's lots of judgment, lots of, you know, black and white, and I think the precursor to that was a lot of stuff like the British tabloid press, which they had to deal with. We really didn't have to deal with as much in this country.
So, yeah, I think we'll wrap it up here for the night. I will just say, if you are reluctant to see Spice World, I hope we've kind of got your interest because I think it deserves more attention, and there's a reason why it's gained more of a following over the years as a cult favorite because it's a unique film. Don't go into it exactly expecting anything like, you know, JFK or anything, but as far as a pop band film goes, I'll say this is probably one of the better ones out there, and that's because they aren't taking themselves that serious. They're having fun, and I think some, you know, we kind of forget how to do that occasionally, especially not just at the theater, but in our music and just in life in general. I think we're so busy looking at negative stuff, we kind of forget just to have fun and let go and you know, be positive, to sound cheesy. What I'll do is we'll close it up here. Let's get final thoughts from both Andrew and Scott on Spice World and also where they can find you at. Go ahead, Andrew, you first.
Hey, man, I just want to say thanks to you both for doing this. This is cool. You know, I know this is that your show's got some credibility to look after, and I dig that this is going to be part of it. But, you know, in terms of credibility to me, the cool thing to note about Spice Girls is that they've not been tarnished. They've not turned themselves into a joke. They haven't done a zombie movie with another bunch of girl groups, let's say, for a cheesy sci-fi original movie or whatever. As cool as it would have been to see Spice Girls versus the, you know, three-headed mecha shark or whatever, they haven't done it. It's kind of neat. I think it's kind of neat and very respectable. I don't know about respectable, but I have some lots of girl power in my movies that I make. If you're interested in watching some low-budget B-movie stuff with some wonderful all-female casts, gonzorific.com. Have some DVDs, and on Amazon On Demand, we have Mondo Gonzo, Fake Blood, Pajama Nightmare, Underground Cinema, and the new one, Late Night Cable. Or if you just want to watch free things, look up Gonzorific on YouTube. There's farts, there's boobs, there's monsters, all kinds of neat stuff.
Awesome. Thank you, Andrew. And Scotty D, or Scotty Baby Spice D, go ahead.
Yeah. Scott D, Baby Spice.
How about just Scotty Spice? That's pretty
Scotty
good.
Scotty Spice. I like Scotty Spice.
This is a great movie. It's, you know, like I said, you know, I was one of the very grumpy, serious people, and it took a moment of sheer insanity for me to appreciate how insane this movie was, and I've been trying to convince people ever since. This movie is a lot of fun, whether you like their music, whether you're not a huge fan of their music. The energy, the camaraderie, just the up attitude, the craziness of this film. It's you know, we don't get enough movies like this. And it was seen as a cheap, I think it was seen as a marketing ploy at the time. But you know what? This movie holds up than a lot of movies that are probably made more earnestly today. So I would actually recommend Spice World to anybody. You can catch me at no segue there. you can catch me at Moviocrity.com. It's where I'll try to update it soon. I got like a lot of my writings, a lot of the podcasts that I'm on, and you can catch my web series all about exploitation cinema. Moviocrity. You can catch that at vimeo.com/channels/moviocrity.
Awesome. And you can catch links for these fine folks as well as anyone who's been here on the Spoiler Room on specialmarkproductions.com. As I always say, your one-stop shop for all your Mark the Movie Man needs, as well as the Spoiler Room archive. Latest episodes is there. I got some other stuff kind of planned I might be posting there soon. Check out our Facebook. We're in the Spoiler Room on Facebook, as well as the Final Cut page, where I've been posting some retro reviews talking about the 90s, some early episodes I did way back in college in 1995. So if you're bored at all, you may want to check those out and have a good laugh. I know I have been with those. So specialmarkproductions.com, where you can find this. And my final thoughts with Spice World is, yes, I agree with these gentlemen. You should see it. It's fun. It's positive. There's an energy in this film that is crazy, and it stays consistent. Some films, especially films like this, I think have a tough time maintaining that energy throughout, but it's here. Even when you get to the low part where the band might break up, it doesn't last long, and it's still, even there's some energy in the way that's put together. Meatloaf, Richard Wright, cameos up the wall. The Spice World is just fun. It's fun cinema. You sit down, don't expect anything. Just watch and experience it. Something that I think we tend to forget to do sometimes with films. And it's a shame because I think if we did that, there'd be a lot more chances taken in cinema, like Spice World type films. And so we'll wrap it up here. I hope you've enjoyed this discussion about Spice World. And I think as we close out, I'll leave you the parting words from the Chief. Let us enjoy this triumph while we can, before the hounds of catastrophe break free of their shackles and slobber chaos all over our faces once again. Say goodnight, everyone.
Goodnight, everyone!